Hey guys, welcome back to Percussion Perspective. I'm Kevin.
I'm Remy.
Are we going to do that literally every episode
for the next
10,000 episodes?
Yeah, 10,000 years.
All right, guys. Well, welcome to the next episode. We are excited about this episode because we are kind of in a transitional time where we're about to be done with marching season. This episode will come out basically the Friday before our state contest. So we're going to still have a really busy week, but we decided to have a conversation about basically marching band being over and what that means for, you know, a high school percussionist and what it looks like for the kids and for the director and just kind of how we transition from the end of marching season to preparing for concert season and percussion ensemble and solos and all state and all region and all the things that happen right after marching season is over.
Yeah. We were both kind of, you know, thinking about topics to do for this next episode. And this is sort of where my mind has slowly been going the last couple weeks is like, oh, I need to start thinking about preparing for when marching band is over and, you know, changing gears and all that stuff. And it can't just happen. You know, you actually have to change gears and get students in a new routine and things like that. So we're going to sort of talk through a couple things that we do or have done in the past, or maybe are planning on doing this year. I'm going to try maybe some new stuff this year. But yeah, so let's have a conversation about that. Marching band is over. Now what, Kevin?
Yes, this is Kevin. So kind of the first thing that I do when marching band is over is, like, I guess I'll talk equipment wise, but normally it's like, let's marching band our instruments. You know, so depending on what school you're at, some schools may have like very established concert band instruments where like, these are the outside instruments, these are the inside. But I mean, we end up using our Yamaha marimbas and stuff and vibes for concert season as well, because they work well. And if you have enough kids, you need as many of those keyboard instruments as you can. But, you know, take off the cymbals, take off the mounts, take the microphones off and get your cables. You know, I don't take all my cables all the way off because I really don't. I don't do that until I know, like, next season what's going to happen. I probably won't have the same setup, so I'll have to maybe re-snake some of those things. But yeah, take all that stuff off and organize it and put it away. You know, get everything that is marching band put away, organized. So, I mean, you know, before we know it, we'll be coming back to all that stuff and needing it to be ready to put back on the instrument. So, yeah, just get your instruments ready to be concert band instruments. And then kind of the same way, depending upon how many different concert bands that your program has, you know, some have one, some have six or plus. Make sure that you're preparing those rooms for concert band rehearsals. So getting all the instruments where you need, you know, it's kind of annoying when it's like 10 minutes into a rehearsal and your kids are roaming around trying to find some toms or triangle beaters or triangles or tambourines or whatever. So just preparing your rooms with the equipment that you will need.
Yeah, I had one like that too, which was just reset and redistribute instruments for concert ensembles. So I'm not going to, you know, rehash any of what Kevin said. One thing that I do is I usually just go ahead and take off all of the cabling off of our instruments. It kind of depends. I'm lucky at my school. We have several like rosewood instruments, and so we do have. We're not able to, you know, get away with not using any marching band stuff. But we are able to give like a nice, you know, concert marimba to each ensemble. And, we have a couple extra vibraphones, you know, that aren't on field frames. But honestly, the newer Yamaha, gold bar vibes that we have are nicer than those old ones. So we do move some things around, but yeah, I go ahead and usually take all of that cabling off just so it doesn't accidentally get damaged or something. We have a different microphone setup too than a lot of people do. We use these overhead mics, and so they kind of have to come off because they're in the way, and they're more prone to damage day-to-day use, you know, unless you're using them for marching band. So we just go ahead and take all that stuff off. So my first thing is that's a really good point. My first thing is make sure you have some sort of plan for your percussionists. So, you know, this is kind of geared towards the person that maybe is at a smaller school and doesn't have a percussion director, or a big, you know, a bigger school, and somehow you just don't have a full-time percussionist on staff. See if you can get somebody in to work with your kids a couple times a week, take them through some percussion ensembles. But, one thing that I noticed, and this happened to me a little bit when I was in high school, I went from having a really, really structured, rigid, you know, warm-up routine, schedule, all of that stuff. And then all of a sudden, as soon as we got into concert band, it was just like we were just left in the back of the room to our own devices. We were thrown some music every once in a while, but not, you know, no one ever worked with us. This is early on in high school, before we had a percussion director that was around a little bit more. But yeah, just make sure you have some sort of plan. So that can look a lot of different ways. You know, there are other episodes that we've done that you can kind of go back into to see, like, you know, what a warm-up packet should look like. I know we've talked about that in separate episodes, but I think so, right? We've had to have mentioned something like that.
Yeah, we've talked about having like a packet that your kids can use during concert season to like just have certain goals to get through.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
So, you know, it doesn't have to be a packet necessarily, but just have some sort of plan, even if that plan is you guys are going to play along with us in the Foundations book or something. Like they need to know what the deal is every day, what the expectation is every day. And so things that I've done in the past is like, had our own percussion warm up, you know, on like Monday, Wednesday, Friday or something. Go ahead and have them split up into their bands after you do auditions or whatever you're going to do, and have them kind of warm up that way. You could do one massive percussion warm up. You can do lots of things depending on the space that you have. But the big thing is you've just got to make sure that you have a plan so that they don't go from something really, really scheduled and solid to just kind of this nebulous free time that usually ends up with, you know, kids getting in trouble. So.
Yeah. And it's hard too, because like you said, the kids are used to like being on the field at 7 a.m. And now it's like, it just seems like the whole culture kind of shifts. So if you're on top of them at the beginning about like the culture is not changing, our time frame and what we're doing is just different.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like all that you said. That's good. And something that could be just as easy to do is like, just hand your kids out. Like it could be something as easy as a snare solo or something. And like, hey, we're going to just go through this. It could be incredibly easy for some kids. It could be incredibly hard for your others. It's like figure out as a percussion teacher, you should know kind of the span of where your kids are and where they're all at individually, but give them something to strive for, because they're going to be bored. Like right off the bat, they're going to be bored. Right.
It's a huge change.
Like marching band is so focused and so active, and concert season it's like those kids realize it too when they get set up in their ensembles, and then like they hear their director be like, okay, F around the room. And which is good that they try to include the percussionists in that, but it's like there is nothing other than ensemble listening skills that they get better at, but like rolling on a F is like that's not furthering their skills. So having something more useful there. So yeah, have a warm up idea, or just be able to pull them out and go through stuff.
Yeah. And while we were just talking about that, I mean, percussion inherently is like every percussionist knows that you're just going to have to sort of sit in the back of the room sometimes. There's just no getting around it. Like, so I'm not saying that your percussionists need to be doing something every minute of every single rehearsal. You know, you want to try and fill that with as much as you can, but if you put them through, you know, like a 10 minute or 15 minute daily drill warm up type thing for, you know, concert band skills. Like, one thing that I'm working on this year is putting a packet together of like, you know, like a concert snare drum warm up packet. And then that also has like some tambourine or some triangle or some crash, just like getting warm-ups through on like different common accessory instruments, so that they can kind of do things like that. But there, you know, if there's a 5 or 10 minute, you know, section of rehearsal or over the entire rehearsal, maybe cumulatively they're, you know, not doing anything for 10 minutes. Like that's just to be expected. So don't feel like you have to, constantly involve the, like Kevin said, sometimes it's just not worth it. Like a percussionist isn't going to get anything out of trying to tune, you know, like, okay, well the bar is the bar. I can't change it without a chisel or some sandpaper. So
yeah, it's part of the culture that percussionists just have to deal with. So, moving on, my next one is obviously for us, we have, the week after our state OBA contest is, our all region stuff or first round all state. For me, it's 6th or 7th through 12. For Remy, it's just high school, right? You do your younger kids stuff later.
In January. It's kind of nice to have it that way.
It is. Yeah. So we have that coming up. So obviously our first, what we do in our program is our first week after marching band is like, if those kids that are auditioning for all state first round, they get that week to kind of get in the zone and get focused and try to get as much more work done on their music as we can. So that's what a lot of our kids are going to be doing. So you want to be like, this is kind of that part where you want to give probably most of your time to those kids and listen to them a lot, give them final feedback, make sure that they are not forgetting to sight read. That's kind of a big portion. And I think we've talked about doing a sight reading episode.
We should do that.
Just kind of, how to talk or how to get a kid doing that better, I guess. But having them sight read, having them get those final preparations down, give them some fake cuts so they can kind of get an idea of starting in different spots on their music, because that's how it works. And so we do that a lot, just giving them that week extra to practice. So
we do the same thing here. We give everybody that week, you know, wind and percussion, anybody, it's like, you know, percussion, you're all going to the percussion room. Winds, they're auditioning, you're all here. Everyone else usually starts working on like the Veterans Day music or something. Like we usually do like a Veterans Day assembly, or we usually do a parade, which conflicts with, but that parade conflicts with actually first round auditions maybe this year. It's like,
a Saturday parade.
Yeah. Which is like, cause
it's
on, man.
Veterans Day is on Monday this year.
Is it? Yeah. Just do it on, anyway, get the kids out of school.
Don't do a parade.
Well, yeah.
Parades. We should do a whole episode on bashing parades, cause I could do that for an hour.
I could, you know, if there's anyone to do parades for, I guess it's veterans.
That's
though,
true. That's true.
Yeah. Or Santa Claus. But anyway, I've completely homecoming, forgot what though. We were talking about. Not homecoming. This has just turned into,
we were talking about preparing for all state. Just that rehearsal time.
Right. Yeah. So if the kids aren't doing it, then they're usually preparing for Veterans Day, or, you know, they're in scale jail or whatever you want to call it. But we have we're trying to make our culture here at my school, like get more and more kids auditioning. And so, it's gotten pretty competitive. Kids are really trying to make the ensembles and things like that, which is great. Like Kevin said, you should really kind of feel responsible toward those students that are trying to audition. You obviously want your school to have a good showing at that all district, all state level. So yeah, spend the time with them. But we do the exact same thing. We give those kids a week to work on all of that stuff.
Which is like, in reality, it's like,
if they haven't already done 90% of the work, they're probably not going to, you know, if they're like, okay, marching band's over, let me open up the packet that you gave me 6 months ago. Like they're not gonna make it. But
it could help a kid that's on the fence and they,
right.
Yeah. If they're close, then that week could actually affect their results.
Yeah. Let's see. So my next one we've kind of gone, I don't know. Did you try to go through these like logically in order, like
sort of
marching band's over and then this, here are the steps. I think we yeah. have like similar things in a similar order. So the next thing I have is concert band auditions. So you, in my opinion, you should be, if you are at a program, with enough students to split into more than one ensemble, honestly, even if you're only in one ensemble, you could do like a, you know, like a chair so that,
yes,
you know,
still,
like
who
your principal yeah. players are. So I was pretty sure Kevin thought this as well, but in, you know, the official percussion, percussion perspective opinion, you should be doing, an audition for your ensembles. So we do like a symphonic band and a concert band. I know Kevin's school does a wind ensemble and a symphonic band. It's essentially the same thing. It's just kind of, you know, based on whether or not you have the correct instrumentation for a wind ensemble or not. It's, you know, more specialized. So we just call it a symphonic band because it's easier to deal with.
Like, I don't know. I don't get bogged down by the name of the ensemble.
Yeah. Who cares, honestly, but
top band, like with our jazz band, it's just like jazz one, jazz two.
Yeah. One and two, A and B.
Band one, band two. But
yeah, a lot of people,
it's okay. You can call it whatever you want.
A lot of people have like symphonic red, symphonic blue or something, you know, like your school colors or something. So
ours is called the Prairie of the Land Wind Ensemble.
Is it really?
No.
Oh, I was like, okay. Well, you're getting five.
The Wind Ensemble Regiment.
Yeah. Nice. So anyway, do concert band auditions, and you know, that can be something as easy as, everyone's going to play a cut from the, you know, from your all district music, or everyone's going to play this random etude that I think I've done a kind of hybrids over the years. Sometimes it's some cuts from the all district music. Sometimes it's like a sight reading thing that I did. I wrote like a little 8-measure snare drum etude and a 2-mallet thing, and then gave them like a timpani excerpt from, you know, like a, not the De La Cluse book, like from the Vic Firth book or the Goodman book or something like that. But just, it's the same way. I think we've talked in previous episodes about like when you audition for things, it makes students realize that it's more important. Like it puts more importance on that activity, on that, that aspect of being in a band program. So if you're auditioning for concert band, it kind of makes them realize like, oh, this isn't just the time of year that we just like phone it in and don't really care. Like this still matters. Like Kevin said, I really liked what you said about your culture is staying the same. You're just kind of like changing when and what you're doing, but everything that we have been like teaching you and drilling and expecting is not changing. It's just, you know, we're in a different ensemble at a different time.
Yeah.
You know, an hour later.
And that was the same thing I was going to say was auditions. And yeah, we just use, we use their relative all state or all region music. So like if they're a 10th or 12th grader, they're going to play something out of their audition music. If they're an 8th or 9th grader, actually we have like randomly some 8th graders in our high school band, but if they're junior high, they play a cut of that music. And I've thought in the past of trying to do some kind of like a cymbal thing or a triangle etude or a tenor, just something to be like, hey, this is a real instrument. And this is not just something that you get put on if you're last chair. It's like, this is a very impactful instrument. So I might do something like that just to change it up. But yeah, I think it really sets the mood and the standard, and it keeps, I mean, we audition for drumline. So if we audition for that, we should audition for this too. And I think it gives, you know, I think it also gives those kids that are first chair like a little bit of a status boost. And it's like, hey, I'm top of this band. And it, maybe if the kids are toward the bottom, it might help them be like, hey, I need to actually up my game up a little bit, you know, and make changes and be better.
Yeah, it also gives some of the non-battery kids like a little bit of a chance to, like, you know, I've got those kids that are that aren't on the drum line, and that's totally fine because they're really great musicians that, you know, contribute at a high level in the front ensemble, but it kind of like evens out the playing field a little bit, you know, like it separates the drum line from the front on, gets rid of that separation. Yeah. It's just like, okay, yeah, well, here's our concert ensemble. And
yeah,
you just kind of put everyone, you know, up against each other, like at an even playing field or whatever you want to say. So,
well, let's take a quick break.
Let's
take a quick break. And then
I was going to say one more thing before we do our sponsored break that gives us, you know, thousands of dollars.
Okay, go ahead.
But I can't remember. So,
so let's take a break.
It was a, yeah, it must not have been that important.
Okay. We'll be right back. Okay, and we're back, and I think Remy remembered.
Yeah, I did remember. We just used that break to figure out what I was going to say. So real quick, before we move on to the next thing, before the break, we were talking about, you know, doing your concert band auditions and using your all-district music for that. So I think using that all-district music is really smart because it also incentivizes, like, auditioning for all-district, you know? It's like... it, and I, maybe that goes without saying, but just to say it, you know, it's like the kids that are going to audition are probably the ones that you want to throw them a little bit of a bone, like, hey, you're doing a good job, you're representing the school well, blah 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 blah. So you already know that music, so let's just use that. It kind of makes sure that those kids that are doing the extra work get the payoff of, oh, cool, I don't have to learn another set of music, you know.
Yeah. And if that's the standard that you're kind of using for auditions, it kind of also makes those kids that didn't audition at the, like, that aren't auditioning, it makes them still learn some of that music. And it could make them be like, hey, actually, this is not that bad. So next year, I'm going to actually give this a go. And just always trying to develop their skills.
Yeah.
Am I the next one, or are you?
Becomes a part of your culture. You're the next one.
Okay. So I had the same thing, but yeah, here's my next one, which I think you probably have similar topic choices. Give percussionists some goals during concert season. So like we have said, we've kind of talked this whole time about how concert season is just not as active for a percussionist, but it's kind of your job as a percussion teacher to make it more active. I believe every percussionist should be doing a solo, because if a kid spends their, like, if they're the bottom of the barrel of your concert band's percussion lists, then they're probably playing suspended cymbal or just mallets, which is not bad. Or like, they're just playing accessories. They're not getting on a drum. They might not be playing timpani. They might not be playing super hard mallet parts. So give them something else to do. They need to be like, they should know their scales. They should have some kind of four mallet stuff that they can be doing outside of that time, furthering their rhythm knowledge, having goals for, you know, drumline auditions coming up. I mean, if they, you're going to have some kids that like, I've already had some kids come up to me and they're like, do we have the audition music for next year's drumline music? I don't know why when I impersonate a kid, it always makes them sound dumb.
Yeah. I've had kids. Kids already like, can I have a tenor packet? And it's like, how about you make all district first? How about that?
Yeah, which it is good that they're passionate about it. But yeah, have, like, it doesn't have to be a solo that they're going to play at contest. I think some kids get weird. They're like, well, I'm not going to perform this anywhere. And I was like, well, that's okay. We don't perform our drumline warm-ups anywhere other than in the lot, you know? So
yeah, it's still going to help you get better.
Yeah. Like, they can learn music, whether they're going to perform it for people or not. So snare solos, snare etudes, mallet, little mallet solos, timpani things. I think a lot of kids need to play more timpanis. You know, that if you play 10 pieces throughout a concert season, that's only 10 timpani parts, and some kids might not get to do it. So
yeah. And you have like 20 to 30 percussionists, probably easy. So not
share the love and make sure that they're all, I think every percussionist should be like learning some kind of etude outside of their concert band music. Unless, you know, sometimes they are, if they're in your top group and they're playing like some really stinking hard music, then like, yeah, they need to be focusing on that really hard mallet part or snare or timpani or whatever. It could be a really hard tom part or something. They should be working on that. But
But if you're doing your job as a percussion teacher too, you're hopefully not just like overloading three kids with all the hard part, you know, you're like kind of spreading those out over your best players. You might have a kid that's, if they're playing three pieces, maybe they're playing one really hard part, one kind of medium part, and then one that, you know, they're just going to be able to like walk in and sight read every time.
Right.
For lack of a, I guess it's not sight reading if they're doing it over,
right,
but one that they're not going to have to practice outside of rehearsal.
Yeah. They, and also, I mean, this is, should go without saying, but spread out your percussion assignments as well. Try to be as spread out as you should. Like one kid should not be playing mallets the whole time, vice versa. Well,
I just have a kid that I call him marimba, and he just plays marimba and everything. And it's easier than learning their names, like your snare drum, your bass drum.
Bass drum, come here. That's not good at all. I know that was a joke, but if someone were to like think about it that way, you could end up having, you know, really good percussionist, or really good snare drummers or really good mallet players, but then they're not percussionists. They're just like, hey, suspended, hey, sus cymbal, come here.
Yeah. Come here. Come here. Sleigh bells.
I wouldn't mind that gig. Just you're the sleigh bell guy.
Afuche. Cuica.
Oh man. That'd
be
funny.
You have a kid that just plays cuica. That'd be ridiculous. Oh man. Okay. Is that all you wanted to say about that?
Yeah.
What even was that one?
Individual like percussion goals, like make them things to play.
Yeah.
Other goals. Than just their concert band part.
Cool. I'll say I've got two more. Leapfrog. I almost said piggyback. That's a different thing. I'm going to leapfrog my number five and go to my number six, because I think it goes along with what Kevin was just saying. Make sure your percussionists know that they can grow during this time as well. Like they can grow as musicians. They can grow as players and percussionists. Kind of like feel like this almost sort of sums up this entire, maybe I should have done this last. Dang it. Kind of sums up the entire episode. But you know, just make sure they know they can grow during this time. There is kind of a, you know, like a stereotype of concert band and in percussionist's mind, and of like, oh, I don't want to be in concert band. It's so boring. All they do is play long tone 1A and blah, blah. And it's like, well, they do that in marching band too. But again, it's kind of like all these things we've been talking about. Like you've just got to have a plan for your percussionists. You have to make them realize that there's just as much to do. And honestly, in a lot of ways, being a good concert percussionist is harder than being a good marching band percussionist. It's, you know, I don't know if I really agree with that statement, but it like playing band is difficult.
You have to control so much more.
Stop interrupting. I don't know. I might say that like, it, you know, what you don't have to have in like chops, you just have to have in musicality. And you can like gain chops by practicing. You really can't gain musicality as easily as you can chops. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I think there's so much like in marching band, you're most of the time putting together this very like circular idea, but it's like still very rigid, like tempo. You use a met so much, right? Like when you're in concert rehearsal, it's like there's a lot more, what is it, intuition or like
that would work.
Yeah, like you have to like, it has to be way more like I'm playing my part in time. Oh, actually I'm not, because I play the same thing as the tubas and they're not, I'm not with them. But like
there's just
a lot
more
field. Oh, you're interrupting me now?
I am.
There's just so much more listening. I think that's what you were going to say. So much more like...
I was going to say there's a lot more gray areas. There's a lot more gray areas in concert band.
Right, yeah. And tempo can fluctuate a little bit because it's supposed to. And
fluctuate.
Flux-munch-mate. So, I would agree with that statement. I've never really thought about that. But yeah, I think it's like... It's a little bit harder to teach. The idea of like you have to play this part, but also incredibly listen and pay attention at the same time. And that's why you have to know your part so well, which is also true in marching band. But, and each kid is like playing their own thing most of the time, also in concert band. Like, you know, there's not as much listening to a section. You don't have four or five snares playing the same concert band part. So I agree with your statement.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, just make sure that your students know that they can use this time to get better also, that it's not a waste of time for a percussionist. There are some times that it is not, not geared towards percussion, and that's fine. You just have to make sure that they are getting what they need. Like Kevin said, give them some solos, things like that. All right. What else you got?
The last one that I put down was, this is also kind of mostly for the director, I think, but this is also your time to start thinking about percussion ensemble prep.
Oh, and that was my last one.
Shoot.
We should talk about these before. Anyway.
Yeah, sometimes we used to. We will. We'll get better at that. But at least we're on the same wavelength.
Remember, marching band's not over for us yet, so we still don't have a lot of time right
it
now.
It is tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
Well, when they listen to this podcast tomorrow, for them will be Saturday. Anyway, yeah.
We said that at the beginning, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
My gosh.
I tend to just tune you out when you talk, sort of.
Yeah, I always, I turn you down. So I actually have no idea what you're saying when I'm, you when just, you're talking.
You just mute me and you start texting.
Anyway, so preparing for percussion ensemble as the director. So kind of thinking, and this will probably end up being another episode that we'll chat about our processes of preparing for percussion ensemble, but you need to think about how you want to do it, what kind of pieces you want to do. If you want to do big pieces, if you want to do a bunch of chamber pieces, if you want the kids to kind of pick some of their groups to be a part of, if you want stuff like that. So getting your music chosen and your kids put together and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. I always kind of use the time that everybody is, like the week in between the end of marching band and the auditions for all district that we were talking about. It's like, I'll go around and make a round and float through the percussion studio and just kind of be like, okay, well, you know, what are you working on? Listen to everybody on whatever they're doing. And then I go back to my office and I kind of like make a couple notes of like, oh, this is what we should play, blah, blah, blah. Kind of use that week or so to sort of just start like thinking about, what do I want to do? Because we have a pretty decent library, percussion ensemble library here, but there's also like a lot of pieces that have been written even in just the last few years, you know, for like percussion ensembles really blowing up. So there's a lot of really cool music that's being written. And I've got a couple pieces in the back of my mind that I'd like to play this year. So
save those for that episode.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. I think that's all good. Like, yeah, we don't have to go into all that. We can make that another episode.
Yeah, we'll do an episode out of that one. Oh man, I'm trying to think if I can think of anything else to add here.
I think we've pretty much just covered like percussion time during concert band can just be incredibly boring and they can hate it, or as the teachers, you can try to make it as active and as fun and educational as you can. And I know sometimes that's hard because as the percussion guy, you want to like, you just had a crazy marching season and you kind of want to take a small step back, which you can. I mean, they need to be in concert band rehearsals, you know, so there can also be times where you're just chilling in there and making sure a kid is crashing the cymbals correctly and stuff like that. But when it comes to like the kids' actual educations, don't let them just rot.
Yeah. Well, you have to think about like, you know, if our goal as music educators is to have our students continue in music in some capacity after high school. They don't have to become, you know, they don't have to go be a music major. They don't have to become a percussion director, but you want them to like, I mean, I've got four or five students right now that are like, just from the last few years that are like in college playing music. And some of them are majors and some of them aren't. Actually, most of them aren't, but they're all still playing like in marching band, in percussion ensemble, in the, you know, wind ensemble or symphonic band at whatever school they're going to. And like, that's awesome. And so I, you know, that's like what I'm most proud of is like getting students to like creating lifelong musicians, you know? So anyway, you want them to understand how a wind ensemble rehearsal is going to work, right? If you're just like constantly pulling them out for sectionals and help and blah, blah, blah. And like, oh, we're doing warm up and then we're going to do this. And then we're going to do a sectional on this piece. And like, they need to sit in there and kind of like figure out how to deal with not being the star of the show for 15 or 20 minutes or an entire rehearsal even. Like,
yeah,
there are going to be those rehearsals where your head director or whoever's working with the ensemble probably isn't even going to say anything to the percussion for like most of the rehearsal. And that's fine, like, because they're worried about other things. So, I think there's definitely a balance. You don't want them to just rot, like Kevin said, but you also kind of need them to rot slightly in the back. Like, it's good for them to kind of just like sit there and be bored in the back of a rehearsal every once in a while. It teaches them to, you know, because a college wind ensemble rehearsal is going to be like that. I mean, 90% of my rehearsals in college are just like sitting there waiting for my one chance to play some crazy hard part, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It just teaches them to be like good humans and be able to sit there and chill and.
Yeah. Just be patient.
And relax. Yeah. Well, do you have anything else?
Oh, I don't think so. If anybody is continuing on with marching band after this, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I wish you success. I love marching band, but I'm always, you know, it's like, as soon as it's over, I'm ready for it to be over, you know? So I know in the next few years, we're looking at going to some BOA things, and that'll be really exciting when we get there. And I don't want anyone to think I don't, like, I love marching band. I don't want anyone to think that I don't, but I'm, you know, when it's over, I'm glad that it's over.
Yeah. It's just time for a change of pace and scenery and stuff
more time
like that. So
yeah, more time. In the
so
evenings.
I think Remy and I we're hoping that the future of this podcast can become where we can have some guests on it. So we do have some ideas of getting some people on here other than just us. We're almost 20 episodes in of you just hearing our voices. So we think there
are we
other
really,
people.
Man? Is this, what is this? Is this
is 18,
be
dude.
18. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Okay.
We'll be celebrating 100 episodes here in a couple months.
No,
I'm just kidding. But yeah, we're hoping to get some guests on, some other percussionists, some other band directors, some other people that we know that can share their thoughts and, their experiences and bring you more knowledge and education and entertainment. So, thank you guys for listening again, and we will see you on the next one.
Later, guys.